Welcome to HN Pod, your daily deep dive into the top stories and conversations from Hacker News. I am Sarah.
And I am Mike. Today is Saturday, May 2nd, 2026, which means we are looking back at the top stories from yesterday, May 1st. This is episode 383.
We have a really fantastic lineup for you today. We are going to talk about a tiny app that solves the ultimate modern annoyance of USB-C cables. We will also discuss how Uber accidentally burned through its entire 2026 AI budget in just 4 months.
Plus, we have the release of Grok 4.3, Apple accidentally leaking some Claude files in their support app, and a wild new AI jailbreak technique that exploits political correctness guardrails.
Let us kick things off with a show HN that absolutely blew up yesterday. It is called What Cable, and it pulled in 445 points. It's a tiny macOS menu bar app by a developer named Daryl Morley, who goes by Sleeping Nomad on Hacker News.
I downloaded this immediately, Sarah. We all have that drawer full of identically looking USB-C cables at home. You never know if the one you grab is going to charge your laptop at 100 watts or 5 watts. Or if it can handle Thunderbolt data speeds or just basic USB 2.0. They all look exactly the same.
It is so frustrating. What Cable sits in your menu bar, and when you plug something in, it tells you in plain English exactly what that cable can do and what the bottleneck is. It reads the data your Mac already has access to via IOKit, so it can pull the cable's eMarker info, the charger's voltage profile, and the negotiated speed.
The app itself is incredibly useful, but the Hacker News comment section is what makes this a classic 2026 tech story. Within hours of the post going up, the community was just iterating on it at lightning speed. One user named PyMace used GPT 5.5 to port the entire thing into a KDE Plasma 6 widget for Linux. They said it took about 10 minutes and $2 in API costs.
And then someone else made a command line version for Linux. But the absolute best part was the original developer, Daryl. Thanks to having Claude as a pair programmer, he pushed out 16 new releases in just 7 hours, based directly on Hacker News feedback.
Yeah, someone in the comments complained about hating menu bar apps, so he added a toggle in the settings to make it a standard dock app instead. Someone else wanted a command line interface built in, so he added that too. It really shows how AI coding tools have completely changed the speed of open source iteration. A single developer can act like an entire product team in a single afternoon.
Speaking of AI coding tools, that is a perfect transition to our next story. Uber apparently torched their entire 2026 AI budget on Claude Code and Cursor in just 4 months. This article from Briefs.co got 373 points.
This story is wild. Uber rolled out Claude Code to its engineering team late last year, and by April, the bill had consumed the entire year's allocation. We are talking about monthly API costs ranging from $500 to $2,000 per engineer.
The scale of adoption is what gets me. 95% of Uber engineers are using these tools monthly now, and 70% of their committed code originates from AI. The article mentioned that Cursor usage has actually plateaued there, while Claude Code is completely dominating their engineering workflows. But the Hacker News comments were really trying to figure out how a single developer can realistically burn $2,000 a month on tokens.
The breakdown in the comments was fascinating. A user named Galanway categorized developers into levels of token burning. Level 0 is beginners who never clear their context window. They just keep one massive ongoing conversation with the AI because they think it is educated on their project, so every single prompt sends hundreds of thousands of tokens.
Then you have the intermediate users who discover subagents. They tell the AI to spawn 5 subagents to analyze a problem from different angles, which multiplies the cost instantly. And the expert users are just running 10 work trees in parallel, having agents spin up dev servers and debug entire apps simultaneously.
But Sarah, the most dystopian explanation came from a user pointing out Goodhart's Law. Some companies are apparently using token usage as a metric for developer productivity, so developers are doing something called token maxing.
Token maxing? I cannot believe that is a real term.
Right? If your manager is going to penalize you for not using the AI enough, you are going to write scripts that just burn tokens in the background to pod your stats. One commenter compared it to hiring a carpenter and writing a bad review because they did not swing their hammer enough times, even though the house was built perfectly. It is the modern equivalent of measuring productivity by lines of code.
Well, speaking of the models driving all this massive usage, X.AI just released Grok 4.3, and it got a lot of attention on the front page yesterday with 381 points.
The consensus on Hacker News is that Grok 4.3 is getting incredibly good at capturing tone and formality, maybe even better than the competition. A user who speaks English as a second language pointed out that Grok understands the subtle human nuances of language. When ChatGPT tries to be informal, it sounds like a fake, overly enthusiastic robot, or it goes way too stiff and formal.
Yeah, someone ran an evaluation comparing Grok 4.3, Claude 4.7, and GPT 5.5. They found that Grok was the fastest and cheapest, but also nailed the close friend or coworker vibe the best. Claude 4.7 was actually voted the best for formal corporate reports, especially for formatting things for executives, but Grok won on natural conversational tone.
There was a really interesting anecdote in that thread from a user whose sister-in-law is a pharmacist. She is a heavy LLM user, and she uses it to write professionally polite messages to doctors explaining how the drugs they just prescribed would have killed a patient due to interactions.
Oh, wow. That is a very high-stakes email to send.
Exactly. You have to be serious, you have to be highly accurate, but you also cannot anger the doctor. A lot of people in the comments were debating whether it is sad that we are outsourcing our social skills and tone policing to AI, but others argue that it is an incredible accessibility tool for people who struggle with workplace communication or navigating office politics.
Let us move on to Apple. A funny little slip-up caught the internet's attention yesterday. A user on X noticed that Apple accidentally left Claude.md files inside the Apple support app. This story got 367 points.
This basically confirms what Bloomberg's Mark Gurman and others have been saying for a while. Apple is heavily relying on Anthropic internally. They have custom versions of Claude running on their own servers to power their internal tools and product development.
The Hacker News discussion quickly pivoted to Apple's broader AI strategy. Apple seems to be intentionally sitting out the bleeding edge arms race, preferring to rent models rather than burn billions training their own from scratch right now.
But users are getting really frustrated with the consumer-facing side of things. People in the comments were complaining about Siri still feeling like a bolted-on decision tree from a decade ago, especially when you compare it to ChatGPT's voice mode, which can handle deep, hour-long conversations, understand accents perfectly, and pick up on context.
There was also a lot of talk about Apple's new Liquid Glass UI overhaul. Some users think Apple is just shuffling the interface around to make it look fresh, while others suspect it is laying the groundwork for their upcoming augmented reality hardware or the 20th anniversary iPhone. But the bottom line for a lot of Hacker News readers is that they just want a voice assistant that actually understands technical vocabulary without hallucinating or making them manually edit transcribed text.
Our last story today is both hilarious and a fascinating look at AI safety. It is a GitHub repo detailing something called the gay jailbreak technique, and it got 425 points.
I could not stop laughing at this thread. So this is a novel prompt injection technique that works on almost all the major models right now, including GPT-4o, o3, Claude 4 Sonnet, and Gemini 2.5 Pro. Basically, to bypass the AI safety guardrails and get it to output restricted content, like malware code or dangerous chemistry instructions, you just ask the AI to act gay, or you tell them that you are a gay person asking for this information to keep your community safe. The reason this works is actually a brilliant exploitation of how these models are aligned. The safety guardrails are heavily weighted to be supportive, helpful, and inclusive toward marginalized groups like the LGBT community. So when the model detects those keywords, the inclusivity guardrail essentially overrides the safety guardrail because the AI is terrified of being offensive or discriminatory by refusing the request.
The author of the repo noted that the more safety training a model has, the stronger this technique actually works. You are literally using the guardrails to defeat the guardrails. Beating fire with fire, as they put it.
Hacker News commenters pointed out that this is basically an evolution of the classic grandma roleplay jailbreak, where you used to ask the AI to act like your late grandmother who would read you napalm recipes to help you fall asleep.
Right, but it highlights a really difficult problem for the AI labs. These models have zero actual context about the world. They are just predicting text while trying to balance conflicting legal and corporate policies. One commenter made a great analogy. It is like the AI has to constantly choose between discriminating against a protected class or risking liability for giving illegal advice. And the prompt injection just forces it to pick the protected class.
It is a constant cat and mouse game, and I am sure the labs are already patching this specific prompt out as we speak. But it is a great reminder of how weird the prompt engineering world still is in 2026.
Absolutely. Well, That is all we have for today's episode of HN Pod.
Thank you so much for listening. If you want to read any of the articles or dive into the comment sections we talked about today, make sure to check out the front page of Hacker News from May 1st.
We will be back tomorrow with more of the top stories and trends. Have a great day, everyone.